Grace to you and peace from God our Heavenly Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our Lord said, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. This do in remembrance of me." It's the word of our Lord. You may be seated. The opening scene is a shadowy black and white image. An alleyway where most details appear blurred out. And the camera seems to move erratically, making it hard to focus on the figures in the scene, conveying intentionally the sense of chaos and confusion that is occurring. Eventually, the viewer can discern a hand clutching an open wound, a serious wound, the kind of wound that would motivate nearly anyone toward emergency hospital care. But instead, the man just holds the blood-soaked rag over his shoulder at the point that the blade entered with a furious force. He staggers a bit, bent over, in obvious pain. Flashbacks in his own mind, which are portrayed for the viewer, reveal that the wound was suffered in a gang initiation gone bad. The blade was barely deflected from hitting his throat and killing him in the alley that night. Maybe that makes him lucky, he wonders. Then fast forward to another scene, years later, in the soft light of a church conference room, in a quiet suburb of a different city. And the discussion centers around reaching out into the inner city, trying to help those who have been labeled at risk. And from one side of the room comes the voice of objection. If you're going to bring those kids from that neighborhood over here, well, then you can count me and my family right out, because we are not going to deal with that element. Across the table, the man with the scarred shoulder sits in silence. The wound is long healed, but the skin is still tight. And that night in the alley is so very long ago. Long before he was invited into an at-risk program. Before he earned a GED and then a degree and then a job in another city where he married and had children. Before he stood by the font and felt the water pour over his own face and his head as he heard the name, the triune name, spoken above him. It was before all that. If you only knew, he thinks to himself, as the group debates who should be welcomed into their midst. We all have moments or scenes like that, don't we? I mean, yours may not be that dramatic, I understand. But scenes so separated from the lives that we live now, or at least the lives that we live publicly, Maybe it happened so long ago. Maybe in a different place. Maybe it still happens today. The temptation, that vice or addiction, or the incident that just seems to drag you out of your regular life and routine. It's a recurring memory, a recurring scene that still no one knows about. Well, there may be no physical mark to remind you of your past. And it may have happened in an entirely different social setting than the one portrayed here, but we all still carry scars from the things that we have done or have left undone. And so we can be intensely aware that we feel alone, even here, alone with our scars. Perhaps it was a failed relationship. Perhaps an addiction kept secret for so long. Perhaps a business dealing that crossed some legal or ethical lines. Perhaps they were words of such bitter hatred that they should have never escaped your lips. Maybe the smile that you wear masks a resentment, or bitterness, or envy. Sin disrupts our lives and leaves its scars. So when we gather together, we're so aware of how radically different it would feel if only they knew. And our back tenses up and we get that polite smile on our face that kind of masks what we're really thinking. If only you knew where I come from, if only you knew what I've done, if only you knew what I said, you'd probably think quite differently about me. If only you knew. In Luke's account of the Last Supper, he makes it abundantly clear that Jesus knew about Judas. Here too, we see these opposing scenes. The first one, he shows Judas pursuing betrayal. At the feast of the Passover, as it is approaching, Judas strikes this deal with the religious leadership, 30 pieces of silver in exchange for Jesus. That's how Judas prepares for the Passover. He prepares for betrayal. And then Luke cuts to Jesus, who sends Peter and John to find that upper room where they can prepare to all share that meal together. And that was the Passover preparation of Jesus, preparing a table for his disciples, preparing a sacrament for his church. And then we see Jesus and Judas together. The hour of Passover has come. The men are gathered together at the table with the others. And here is where Luke reveals that Judas is in the presence of a God who knows. At the Passover table, Jesus says, "But the hand of him who is going to betray me is with mine on the table." And without naming him aloud, Jesus makes clear, "Judas, I know. I know." Perhaps there's a glance between them, imperceptible to the other disciples, who by then are looking around and trying to start to argue among themselves who it might be that Jesus is referring to. And Luke displays, he demonstrates that the disciples at that moment, they've taken their eyes off their Lord. And they're looking at each other because they don't know and they don't understand. They don't know what to do. But Jesus sees clearly. And that's what is so amazing about this Last Supper. Jesus knows about this evil. He knows the scene where Judas struck a deal with the chief priests for money. Well, so do we. It's recorded just a few verses before in this same chapter, but now the story has cut to the other scene, the upper room, the Last Supper, Jesus. And he begins the meal by talking about his suffering, and he ends the meal by talking about his betrayal. And yet in the face of certain evil, Jesus does not try to keep Judas away from the other disciples. He doesn't turn his disciples against Judas, and he surely doesn't run off to start a new life in another city. In the face of certain evil, Jesus does the certain work of God. In the midst of all that is wrong and weak and hidden and evil in human flesh, there remains one thing that is true, that God is alive and his love is certain. And in the face of certain evil, Jesus offers certain forgiveness. Drawing those two scenes together, and all the while, he knows, this is my body given for you. This is the cup of the New Testament in my blood, which is poured out for you. And again, two scenes come into view. The freeing of Israel from slavery is the first. You see, that's what the disciples remembered at the Passover. That's what they would have been picturing in that very moment as Jesus spoke. But tonight, Jesus is calling on them to remember him, because he will be their freedom. In him is this new covenant and eternal love. And in him, sin, death, and the power of the devil are destroyed. In his body, he will bear the punishment of our sin on the cross. And in his blood, he will claim us as his own. The Passover and the Old Testament, the Passion and the New. Those two scenes brought together, as we see then the whole picture of the Last Supper revealed to us, even as the disciples can't yet see it. If only you knew, Jesus must have been thinking in that moment. Well, tonight again draws together yet two different scenes. One of them is from your life. Those moments that leave you silently thinking, if only you knew. The scars that we would rather not remember. Those are the moments we will bring to our Lord in confession and repentance. The other scene is that Last Supper, which we know began the great passion of our Lord. And those two scenes come together for us in the presence of Holy Communion today. Take, eat. This is my body given for you, declares the Lord, because I know, he could add. I know what you hide. I know what you regret. I know what would cause you great shame if others knew. I know what burdens your heart tonight, he says. And still he says, come unto me. Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Tonight we have a Savior who invites you with wounded hands to his table. And with these wounds, he continually reminds us of a personal love that God will never forget. These scars are the marks of a God who truly knows his creatures, knows their suffering, knows the price to be paid for their sin. These are also the scars on the hands of a risen Savior. He carries these with him after death. And they are publicly, eternally the signs of his love for humanity. So privately and secretly we see our own scars. We wonder what would happen if anyone really knew. Well, know this, God knows. God knows. But he knows you in love because of the death and resurrection of his Son. Here you are no longer known as a sinner. Here you are known as a child of God, a son or daughter of the Most High. Tonight, God comes to proclaim to you the certainty of your salvation. For this reason, Jesus invites you to his table tonight. He knows why you need to be here. With hands extended in humble reception of the gift of God's grace as it is placed into those hands and received into your own body, he has come to feed you, to forgive you, to cover your scars with the scars of his wounded hands, to cover your life with the wonder of his love. Take heart as you come, for he knows you and he loves you like no other. Amen. May you be covered.